Yes, and one of the things I enjoyed was one of the brothers asked the question, why are so many Christians unhappy? And I reflected it with my own life, like, why am I unhappy? Like, for me personally, I compare myself with a lot of my friends who aren't in the church life, and the Lord kind of spoke to me, like, if you think, like, their life is better than you, and you're unhappy, how are you supposed to preach the gospel to them? So, like, first, we have to be happy ourselves, and be enjoying the Lord and enjoying the church life before preaching the gospel or anything more than that, yeah. Oh, and also, one of the strong burdens is that I also received is the importance of prayer, right? For 40 days before the college training, even during the college training, yeah, there were saints praying for
Amen.
Us. And then 10 days after, and it still is 10 days after, there still is a burden for prayer. And then not just to end at the 10 days, but to keep on praying for all the college students, all the campuses, and then that the church life would be stronger on those campuses, and we would continue to grow.
Yeah.
Amen.
So yeah, prayer, I mean, this is kind of a side note, but prayer definitely works, because apparently there was like a hurricane, what was it, like Barry or something? The after effects of it were supposed to come up and hit us, but people were praying that we would not be affected, and then it completely subsided. So just a side note, that's how prayer is very effective.
Amen.
I just want to quickly see, who went to the North American college training? Just stand up, so everyone can be impressed by the number of people. Amen. Hallelujah. So you guys are all obligated to share. You can sit down now. So, me and Austin were just giving a brief introduction because we really want to outpour this burden that was spoken at the college training. Because this matter of the Jubilee, kind of like what Austin said, we're, as believers, they even stated in the training, a Christian is just someone who is resting in the Lord, enjoying the Lord, and even in ecstasy.
Amen.
And ecstasy simply means you're like so much enjoyment, so much happiness, that you're like completely beside yourself.
Right.
But rhetorical question, how many of you can truly say that that's your experience? Like, and usually when people say rhetorical questions, it's to make people kind of feel bad about themselves. But this is more of an encouragement. This is to show we have so much more we can attain to. Like, that's, like, I don't know. Me coming into the college training, I didn't think that my enjoyment could go much higher. I guess maybe I was being a bit arrogant, in a sense, thinking that, wow, okay, maybe I'm just going to maintain my enjoyment. But really, when I went there, it's like a million times like higher. Like, I felt like my enjoyment just skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. And we really desire, all of us who went there, that every single person we talk to really enjoys that. Like, to really enjoy, not just to say, yeah, I enjoy God, I enjoy Christ, but to really enjoy God and be full of ecstasy in our daily life. So, I have a bunch of verses that we all had to memorize in the college training that I think kind of segments and outlines everything in preparation for people to share more. But so we have Luke 4:18, Leviticus 25:8-10, Acts 26:18, and then Genesis 13:15. So in Luke 4, that's when the Lord Jesus came on the Sabbath to this synagogue in his home country or hometown or whatever. And he was reading a quotation from Isaiah 61, which basically, to paraphrase, is that the Spirit of the Lord Jehovah is upon me to pronounce good news to the people, to heal the brokenhearted, to open the eyes of the blind. And after he said that, he said, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And to understand the significance of this, you have to go all the way back to Leviticus 25, 8, 9, and 10. And if all the college students who went there, they know. There's that verse 9. It's talking about on the day of expiation, before the actual 50th year, which is when the Jubilee actually starts. The year before, there's the day of expiation, when they sound aloud the trumpet, and basically say, hey, everyone, all you people who are enslaved, who lost your possession, who are slaves and are need to go to your family. Next year, you're basically all going back to your possession. So all the people who lost their possession, all the people who were slaves, that must have been like the best sound to their ears to hear that type of trumpet. So then, back in the New Testament, when the Lord said, today this scripture has been fulfilled, that's the equivalent of the Lord sounding the trumpet, basically saying, I'm about to accomplish redemption for all of you, and you're all going to receive salvation later. So now, in today's age, we are actually living in this quote-unquote year of Jubilee.
Amen.
And even, it's called the age of Jubilee, the age of grace.
Amen.
So now, it's the same thing. Everyone who lost their possession, everyone who sold themselves to slavery, we can now return back to our possession and to our family. And we all know the equivalent of our possession is God. Like I think we were all really enjoying that in the hymn. We're not here for what God can give. We're not here for the quote-unquote even physical blessings that He gives us, although those are good. But really all we want is God Himself. God Himself is our portion.
Amen.
And then the family we return to is the church. We are now in a community, in a family, where we are all together. So, Acts 26, I'm going to kind of segue. Because many people, many Christians, they don't see this. They think, oh, I'm good. I'm fine in my current condition. But as I just mentioned, it's not just merely a sinner returning to God. It's even Christians need to return back to the possession that they lost.
Amen.
So 26:18, if you all want to quote it with me, to open their eyes,
to turn them from darkness to light, and from the authority of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me.
Amen.
So I want to emphasize that first one, to open their eyes. Normally, when I first read it, I thought, okay, we're going to open the eyes of the unbelievers because they don't know Christ. But actually, this is directed towards us as well. Because a Christian should not be unhappy or just so-so in their life. They should be enjoying Christ at every moment. So we need to see. Every single one of us, we need to turn within ourselves and ask the Lord, Lord, how is my condition? Lord, open my eyes. Cause me to see that there is so much more to enjoy.
That's right.
And so I'm going to wrap this up by saying there's a comparison that Christ is our good land, right? Christ is the all-inclusive land. So there's actually a verse in Genesis 13:15. When Jehovah spoke to Abraham, he brought him onto a high mountain. And he basically said, look like to the north, south, east, west, look in every single direction. Everything that you see, I'm going to give that to you, basically. Or that's where all your
Amen.
Your children and the future generations, they're going to receive that.
Amen.
So what I really was touched by was that what we see is what we get.
Amen.
So there's also the proclamation that Jehovah spoke to Moses. He said, lift up your eyes
Amen.
To see what I'm about to give you.
Amen.
So that applies to all of us. We can't, if we just look down like this, like the bent double woman in John, we're just like looking down. Our world is just the ground and ourselves.
Right.
But we need to look up and see that there's so much more we can receive.
Amen.
So I really hope that all of us would just ask the Lord, like not just in this setting, but even by ourselves. Ask the Lord, Lord, open my eyes to see that there's so much more for me to receive.
Amen.
So we will now open it up for all the students to share their enjoyment. Amen.
So there are a lot of you that went. We want really to hear from everyone. So to keep time more. So you are timekeeper this morning? Oh, sorry, Timmy. 2 minutes, okay? And when you hear the piano, please finish your thought.
So yesterday I finished Leviticus, and that's the book where this event, the Jubilee, is first announced in chapter 25, though. So before that, there are 24 chapters of erecting the tabernacle, and then this is what you shall do, this is what you shall not do, this is the sacrifice, how you shall perform it, in what situations, and basically, you have to do a lot of sacrifices for everything all the time. And what this experiences is that, what this symbolizes is that we have to take more Christ in our experience and basically be identified back to God. And then in chapter 25, we come to the aspect of the Jubilee. So this is when, if you're, like you said, if they're poor or they lost their possession, then they can be return back to God, and even not only redeeming their land, but they themselves could also be redeemed by themselves if they could afford it, or a family member. So that symbolizes, you know, if we have the experience of Christ, we can like pull ourselves out of this situation into the Jubilee, or even if we don't have the adequate experience of Christ ourselves, then the church can also help us, like our family members.
Amen.
And I really enjoyed the fact that during the Jubilee, it's a Sabbath upon Sabbath. So you shall count off 7 Sabbaths of years. And then after that, after the 49th year, which is also a Sabbath, there's another Sabbath, which is the Jubilee. So in this Sabbath upon Sabbaths, you're like absolutely not allowed to work yourself. And I enjoyed that this represents the responsibility now for God to accomplish his work is with God himself. So we can just take God and enjoy him, and then all the work will be done for us, you know. The fields will produce enough for 3 years, and 5 men can chase 100, and 100 men can chase 10,000.
Amen.
I really enjoyed on the matter of the work has been done. I think my favorite, most enjoyment was the matter of the inheritance, and how it is an inheritance, and so that means we just all we have to do is to inherit it.
Amen.
There's no work that has to be done for us. It's just an inheritance.
Amen.
I also really enjoyed time, use of time, and his past or present tense. So like some of the, even the verse he read, like today, the scripture has been fulfilled. Right? Today, that means, you know, when we're reading it, like today, it's been fulfilled.
Right?
We can take Christ in the Jubilee today.
Amen.
And in the songs we were singing, one of them had the lines like, come now, return to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, come now. It's like, it's just so like, it's so instantaneous.
Yes.
We just have it in the present.
Amen.
And probably the line we sang the most was, this is the year of Jubilee. It doesn't matter, you know, the year was 2019, you know, that's great. This was the year, right? But it doesn't matter what year it is, because this will always be the year.
Amen.
No matter what year you're in, year 2020, 21, because we'll always be able to have Christ as a Jubilee.
Amen.
It'll always be the year of Jubilee.
Amen.
Yeah, I just really enjoyed those points, that we could always come back to Christ,
Amen.
No matter what, because the Jubilee was not something we have to do, but something that we already have.
Amen.
Amen.
I just really enjoyed the matter of freedom. So the children of Israel were given a portion in the land of Canaan. And so every family or every man, right, had a part of the land to himself. But, you know, even though, you know, they had their own portion, over time, a lot of them ended up selling their land, right, either because they're lazy or somehow they got poor, right? And some of them even sold themselves. And, you know, as much as I don't like to think about it, the children of Israel is a very good picture of us, right?
Amen.
So, right? So a lot of us have given up our possession of God. And this happened when Adam fell. But, you know, praise the Lord for the Jubilee.
Amen.
That we could just return to our possession.
Amen.
Right? Return to our family.
Amen.
You know, during the training, the Lord exposed to me a certain condition within me. But after I just prayed and confessed, turned to the Lord, you know, even spoke with another member of the body, I was released, right? I was released from my toil, my anxiety, my sin.
Amen.
And I just had such sense of freedom.
Amen.
I also really enjoyed the matter of enlarging our borders. So in 1 Chronicles 4:10, I'll just read part of the verse. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would richly bless me and enlarge my border.
Amen.
So our border is like our experience. So, is our experience just as big as a meeting hall? Do we only experience the Lord in the meetings?
Amen.
Or does it extend back to our homes, to our family, to our friends? You know, sometimes, a lot of the time when I'm before my friends, right, you know, I would sometimes just reflect, it's just, do they see me as someone who's different from them? Mm-hmm. Or am I the same as them? So really, we just need to pray to the Lord to really enlarge our experience, right? Amen. So that when we appear before others, what they see is not just Aaron, that's my name, but they would see something else, right? They would see a shining.
Amen.
You know, when Stephen was being stoned, right? They looked at him and he was shining.
Amen.
We need to be those, right? Our borders need to be enlarged so we can, when we appear to others, there's something different. They might not know what it is, but you know, that will entice them, right? They'll see a shining, and that shining is Christ.
Amen.
I also enjoyed the matter of, Jabez's prayer was just so awesome, because he told God, God richly bless me and enlarge my borders. We can say that as his children, Father richly bless us, right? And I really enjoyed, I was touched by what Aaron was saying, that our borders need to be enlarged, right? Our experience of Christ has to be enlarged to the point that, okay, well, in the Bible, in Acts 16, right, Paul and Silas were in jail. Has our enjoyment been enlarged to even, I don't know, to the point of jail, right? Paul and Silas were singing, praying, praising the Lord in jail, right? So, it's not just that we come into the meetings and we experience a jubilee, right? It's not like it's a meeting-to-meeting kind of jubilee, but it's an age of jubilee, right? We can experience a jubilee at any time. What I really appreciated, what Ethan was saying, amen, I just have to, amen my brother, that we have to, all we have to do is receive, right? Everything has been done by God, and all we have to do is receive. A lot of the times it's, The problem is always us, right? We don't want to receive, right? And we're like that double bent woman, right? We sometimes even put ourselves into a double bent position. But I appreciate during the sharing, the brother made it seem like inside Acts 13, when Jesus told that double bent woman, he laid her, Acts 13:13, and he laid her hands on her, Luke 13:12, and Jesus, seeing her, called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are released from your infirmity."
Amen.
Daniel, you are released from your infirmity.
Amen.
You are released from any bondage, right?
Amen.
All we have to do is just receive that word. We just have to believe that word. Because the fact is, it's already been done. And then she just popped right up. And she was praising God, right? There's so many things that can really bind us and bring us into bondage, right? Even the smallest things. Because really shortly, during one of the meetings, I dropped my pen, and I was like, oh man, I really have to go get my pen. But I realized that, I don't know, even the smallest things, there's just this urge inside of me, I have to go get my pen. Even though, I don't know where it went. Even the smallest things can be a bondage to us, right? And can bind us from enjoying Christ, right? In that moment. So all we have to do is just enjoy, just take Christ as our freedom and our jubilee and our rest. And this is how the Lord is going to come back, right?
Amen.
By us enjoying Him as a jubilee.
Amen.
What a rich provision!
Amen.
What I was most impressed with from the training was that the Lord wants to come back.
Amen.
He is coming.
Amen.
And I reviewed last night his chapter Matthew 24 and Luke 17. It says that in the days when the Son of Man is coming, there will be earthquakes, famines, calamities, nations against nations, and yet the people will be eating and drinking,
amen,
marrying and giving in marriage, buying, selling, planting, building. And so it's not a small thing for the Lord to free us from the things in our life that are bondage to us. Because eating and drinking is fine, we need it to live. But our life cannot be just eating and drinking. We need to give ourselves to live a life of the jubilee.
Amen.
And the Lord can come back and usher in the fullest jubilee.
Amen.
So, I'll share a small experience. I've been hearing messages on the jubilee for about a year now. And I remember during the school year, I had some homework assignments. And I was just so depressed by it. And it was probably a paper because I hate papers. And I was just so depressed. And I was like, oh God, I'm dying here. And I was like, Lord, you said you'd be my mind to move me. And I just opened, felt like it, pointy senses, and then finished up the assignment. And probably as soon as I had some time to pray a little, or pray over some verses, or call, or just sing a little. And that's
Jesus.
Amen. And, this is a side note, but our spirit is very spacious.
Yes.
Our environment's pressed down on us, but our spirit is very spacious.
Amen.
In Psalm 18:19, He brought me to a place broad and free.
Amen.
And that's Jubilee. That was the side note. So my point was that the Jubilee is not something we have to work for, not something we have to attain to. We just have to find ways that work for us to touch our spirit.
Amen.
What I really enjoyed the most was mainly the importance of the church, and that the church is the Lord's desire. And we have this book that we were reading. It's an autobiography of a person in the spirit.
Amen.
And one quote I really enjoyed was on page 27, where it said, "We have no position, life or standing, to say anything apart from Christ, because we have been crucified with Him."
Amen.
That really touched me, because it was like, oh, the Lord's desire is the church. And I'm not a person that likes to get up in front of people and even share. Even if I enjoy something, I'll share with one person or two persons, but never like in front of a whole people. Mm-hmm. And it was just like really touched me that the church is really as God desired. And for us to really enjoy the Lord, we have to be in the body. And that's
Amen.
The only way to bring the Lord back is with the church as a collective. And it's just like, that was really good.
So 1 Peter 2:11, beloved, I entreat you as strangers and sojourners to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. I enjoyed that in order to gain God, it is not by instant gratification, but it is over a time set aside specifically for the Lord. God wants to stay and spend time with us, but we need to want it first. Like in the story of the prodigal son, God is waiting for us to return to Him. And when He sees us coming to Him, He will be moved with compassion and run to us and fall on our neck and kiss us affectionately.
Amen.
In one of the mummy verses, it says, Ephesians 2:19, "So then you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God."
Amen.
So I really enjoyed the Jubilee, and there are three words that one of the brothers mentioned. The Jubilee is a time of rest, enjoyment, and shouting.
Amen.
So to me, when I heard this, I was like, I don't know if I rest that much, or I enjoy it to that extent, or definitely not shouting. You know, we just have to turn to the Lord and touch this Jesus,
Amen.
The Jubilee Jesus that brings the Jubilee to us.
Amen.
If we really touch this, we can bring Him into every aspect of our life.
Amen.
One of the burdens was that we can have the realization of the Jubilee to the fullest.
Amen.
So it's not just a small experience like day by day, but we can have a life full of the Jubilee.
Amen.
I was really touched by the story of the woman who bent double, where she spent 18 years, she spent double. The only thing she could see was the earth and herself.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the Lord touched her, it just reminded us of the true human condition of being poor, captured, and oppressed by Satan.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing that's like really a good reminder to us when the brother was speaking was that there's an addiction to sinning because of our fallen nature. It's just the way we are because of the fall of Adam. But hallelujah, that the Lord can just free us from that.
Amen.
Just one touch, and the woman could just stand up. And she just said, okay, and just praise the Lord.
Amen.
I enjoyed the matter concerning the freedom of sin. So one point that the brothers emphasized was that one sign of sin is that we are unhappy with our current situation. And because Satan has captured us, he's become our illegal master. It is impossible for us to do good, but we can only do sin. For we have the law of sin and of death within us.
Amen.
Oh, but praise the Lord that the Lord has saved us.
Amen.
Romans 8:2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life has freed me in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and of death."
Amen.
And how do we obtain this law of Spirit of life? We just turn to Him, confess, and pray.
Amen.
The Lord is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins.
Amen.
So by turning to Him, we can confess our sins. He can free us from this bondage of sin.
Amen.
And we can experience happiness this way.
That's right.
Victory does not come from our own effort, but rather we just have to submit ourselves to the Lord.
What I really enjoyed was the matter of Jubilee itself. Before going to the training, I just expected that the meeting or the training itself would be very, it's like only one topic, like Jubilee, and I didn't have a clear understanding of it. But then at message, one of the message, night message, I was really touched that the background story is that the children of Israel had the portion of the good land, and their portion included all the things of the waterbrooks, mountains, valleys, wheat valley, all these like little things. It's all in the portion. But then through the time, they like one by one lost it or sold it to their brothers and sisters. But then the reason why the Jubilee was necessary was that they need to get this portion back.
Amen.
Without them, they'll just have nothing, and no enjoyment, no God, and they'll be just cursing God because they don't have anything. But then praise the Lord that there was a provision for the children of Israel.
Amen.
They were able to go back to their land, go back to their families, go back to whatever they inherited.
Amen.
And in our New Testament age, this is also very important. because in the New Testament age, we don't have to wait for the 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we are just saved, that's our first year of Jubilee.
Yeah.
Because how Jubilee works is like, it's the 50 years, but then the first year is also Jubilee year.
Amen. Or,
yeah, the Sabbath year.
Yeah.
Because the cycle begins with the Jubilee year.
Amen.
Praise the Lord that every day we can just take this portion as our enjoyment, as our freedom, and our food.
Amen.
Right, I really just enjoy how freeing the Jubilee is. So in Leviticus 25:10 it says, "And you shall sanctify the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a Jubilee for you,
Amen.
And each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family."
Amen.
So when I first read this, I thought the wording was kind of weird. "And each of you shall return to his possession." Like, isn't it the other way around? Shouldn't the possession return to you? But thank the Lord that this is really specific wording, right? It's purposeful.
Amen. Amen.
"And each of you shall return to his possession."
Amen.
So the Lord is our possession. God is our possession.
Amen.
And this is emphasized in Luke 15 with the prodigal son, right? It's emphasized in Luke 15:24 that he was lost and has been found, right?
Amen.
The father lost his son, and that was emphasized more than the son losing the father, right? And that just was really mind-blowing to me because we are just so precious to God, and I really appreciated that. Another side note is that the Jubilee, right? Not only can we experience the Jubilee, but we can be the Jubilee.
Amen.
Like now, we can be the Jubilee.
Amen.
And the Jubilee is just so infectious, right? If we are the Jubilee and we could just spread it to everyone else, and you guys can be the Jubilee.
Amen.
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 Amen. Going back to the verse, Acts 26:18, right? To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the authority of Satan to God, right? So, you know, everyone has problems, right? And man has three problems. One is man has sin, and then another one is that man has a sinful nature, and man is also blind. So, and referring to Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And our eyes is also referred to our inward eyes and our heart. And so if we want to bring this Jubilee to others, we need to open our own eyes and to open their eyes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And sometimes we don't realize that we are sinning at the moment. Like, sometimes we are holding grudges or like feeling some annoyance over others who have success or something. And amen. Oh Lord, just help us open our eyes.
Amen.
Amen. I was just touched by how present the Jubilee is throughout the entire Bible and through our lives, right? Starting from the beginning, right? God placed Adam in front of the Tree of Life in the Garden of Eden, which means pleasure, right? Just wants man to enjoy Him.
Amen.
And throughout the Bible, right, in Leviticus, the Jubilee is revealed. And in Isaiah, the prophecy of Christ as the Jubilee is made. And in Luke, Christ actually, when He starts His ministry, the first thing He announces is the Jubilee, when He when He cites Isaiah, right? And then the Bible ends with Revelation, with the enjoyment of the kingdom, and just enjoying the Lord throughout the entire Bible. And when we come to look at it in Leviticus, it says the people, the children of Israel, are working. They're reaping, they're gathering for 6 years, right? And then the seventh year is the Sabbath year, where they don't do any work and they just reap the, take in the enjoyment, right? And then at the 50th year, which is a year right after a Sabbath year, there's the Jubilee, where they don't do work again. So, like, it's 2 years where they don't do any work. So how are you going to get any food? How are you going to get what you need, right? But actually, it's just coming to the Lord, relying on God for His supply and for His enjoyment.
Amen.
And it's hard for us out of our natural self to just drop everything and just come to the Lord for His supply, right? A lot of the time, it's we keep trying to do things out of ourselves, even though I feel like most of us don't want to do anything anyways. We just want to relax, right? But it's somehow we still want to do things instead of leaving it to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And when you look at it, it's their 6 years that the children of Israel spent doing their work. And the same was for us. We spent all this time doing things out of ourselves. But once we were saved, once we received Christ as our Jubilee, that's His telling us that all we have to do is come to Him for His supply.
Amen.
I really appreciate everyone sharing. I also want to thank all the saints who prayed for this conference, both before and after. You could really feel the covering and the coordination within the body.
Amen.
That produced it. I kind of want to draw out some things from which a lot of people shared, which linked into what was also going to be in my sharing. So, in the beginning, the curse on Eve was pain and childbirth, and the curse on Adam was to work and to toil on the ground. Mm-hmm. And this is the situation that we find in the children of Israel, with slavery under Pharaoh and how their firstborn sons had to be killed. And it's in this sort of terrible situation, you know, this theme actually occurs over and over in the Bible. But it's this theme of being in bondage actually is all throughout. And it's actually something really, really, it's an integral problem throughout the narrative of Scripture. And, you know, there's this, you know, the children of Israel are crying out to Jehovah. And Jehovah hears them, and He brings forth Moses, right? Moses at the burning bush, Jehovah says to him, no, he asks Jehovah, what is, no, who should I say, you know, who sent me, right? And Jehovah replies, I am that I am, or it can also be translated, I will become who I will become. And I've read that this means that God is a matter of experience. It's not something that you can just say, oh, God is this, God is that. God is a matter of experience.
Amen.
And it became clear to them who God was once he rescued them from Egypt.
Yeah.
And so in the Song of Moses, after they've crossed the Red Sea, you know, they have this song, and it's a poem written out. At the end it says, Yah is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation.
Amen.
And so is this becoming of God becoming real to us as Amen. Our liberation through the process
Amen.
Of our turning back to him, our realizing our situation like the prodigal son, and then just opening up to him. And it's so hard to sometimes to change our concept, but we just have to be those who love God and who choose the blessing rather than the curse. He has put before us a blessing and a curse, death or life.
Right.
May we be those who choose life.
Amen.
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 Our eyes have to be open, and mine as well. I was encouraged that even though we're blind, we can pray to the Lord to open our eyes.
Amen.
That we can also pray that the Lord would appear to us, and to, that if our eyes would be open, we see something, an aspect of Christ that would be new to us, or something of God's economy. And then we can ask the Lord to appear to us every day.
Amen.
That he would appear to us if we ask. And then the Lord's appearing encourages us and strengthens us to go on and to live out the Jubilee.
Amen.
We like to be do something out of ourselves, but we don't really need to do much. We just come to the Lord and receive everything that he has done
Amen.
For us.
Amen.
And, just come to him to be strengthened and encouraged. And what we see in the spiritual realm is what we get. I also enjoy that if we just come to the Lord constantly, we can be in a state of ecstasy, which means ek, which means out, and ecstasy is place. So even if we feel we're in a jail or prison, there's a song by John Newton that says how tasteless and tedious the hours, or mentioned there's a prison and a palace would appear, which means that a palace is very big. You can go side by side, up and down, and you can experience this when you come to the Lord.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
I really enjoyed how actually Jubilee is right now.
Amen.
And it's in our experience today.
Yeah.
So going into the training, the term Jubilee to me was very abstract, and I always thought of it as something is in the Bible that describes something that's to come, something in the future. And but actually, I was just so touched by the Jubilee has already been given to us and can be our experience day by day.
Amen.
And actually, one point that really struck out to me is that the central thought of God is to be man's enjoyment.
Amen.
He doesn't need us to do anything else. He just wants us to come to him, to enjoy him. And by just partaking of him spontaneously, we're liberated from everything else that's in our life. From bondage of the world, from sin, even from ourselves, our minds, our emotions.
That's right.
And in this, we're just able to experience and touch the Jubilee. Amen. And just living this out, others can see the Jubilee in us and also be able to experience it.
Amen.
Shared came from the main meeting, but actually one of the things I enjoyed came from the special fellowship that we had each morning.
Amen.
So a point that was mentioned was concerning character. So 30% of the character that we have is inherited, and 70% is created by us. Mm-hmm. So that 70% is actually more than majority. So we're in charge of what we become. And it was mentioned before that we need a good testimony. And these people, these people in our schools, our friend group, they look to us and they're like, oh, if they see us and are like, oh, they're just, he's just being like one of us, then why would he, want to choose to be a Christian? Yeah, so we need to set a proper testimony. Also, one more thing that I enjoy was the point concerning personal time. Brother mentioned that 5 minutes, 10 minutes is not enough. So in the college training, we're given 30 minutes each day, but even that is not enough. I know in my personal experience, I'm not even able to last 5 minutes. And like, the only thing we could do is through practice. You know, in my... So for example, so I like to go fishing. And in my first couple times, like, I caught no fish. And I just persevere, and I keep going and keep casting, you know.
Right.
Try different bait. And eventually I was able to catch, like, even 2-pounders, 3-pounders, and so forth. So like, similarly, we have to keep pursuing and keep practicing,
Amen.
Spending time with the Lord, and having just a really intimate relationship.
Amen.
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 And that will be the exhibition of Christ from our daily enjoyment.
May the Lord have mercy on us so that, you know, every time we come together, it's a real jubilee from us.
Amen.
From the Lord. And that will be the enjoyment and the true, the sincere rest in the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's shout to the Lord. Praise the Lord three times again. Okay?
Amen.
With exercising our spirit, how about that?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Okay, now, one more time, you say, praise the Lord.
Praise.
Time to segue. Actually, just to follow our brother's burden, I heard this through an older brother. One time, somebody declared, praise the Lord, and I believe it was Abraham Chang, right? He asked this brother, for what? And then this brother who declared, praise the Lord, then realized, yeah, why am I praising the Lord? Is it just a saying that we do in the Lord's recovery? Or is there really something out of our being that causes us to praise the Lord?
Amen.
Well, I think the burden of this past North America college training is that not that we would only know about the Jubilee, not that we could speak about the Jubilee, but that we would live in the reality of the Jubilee.
Amen.
And I would say, brothers and sisters, this is not just a burden for some college students. This is a burden for all the saints.
Yes.
That we all will live in this reality.
Amen.
And so some of the brothers who were coordinating for this particular meeting, we felt it would be so good that we would revisit these messages. So I hope all the churches, you got that announcement, right? We went back to the Leviticus training. The second message, it was actually message 11, on this matter of the Jubilee.
Amen.
So I just feel that actually in going over this message this past week and connecting it to what was spoken in Champaign, of course, there were so many similarities, and the burden was the same. And because of time, and I think after my little sharing, we really want to open it up to all the saints. And then also, I think there's some college students who still haven't had the opportunity to share. You could also jump in. But in this week, actually, we see very practically how to live in the Jubilee.
Amen.
And this was brought out in the second to last Roman numeral, comparing Romans 7
Amen.
Versus Romans 8.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, do you want to live in the Jubilee?
Amen.
We need to be in Romans 8.
Amen.
What does that mean? That means we need to see that the law of the Spirit of life
Amen.
Has freed us
Amen.
In Christ Jesus Amen. From the law of the sin and of death.
Amen.
Jubilee is freedom. Do we want to experience freedom?
Amen.
Well, we need to be in this other realm. Actually, I really appreciate this word, realm.
Amen.
It's all about a realm.
Yeah.
There's only two realms in this whole universe.
Amen.
You're either in this one realm,
Amen.
Where you are what? You are under the toil, under the struggling, the striving of trying to do something, of trying to be someone. Actually, as one who grew up in the church life, I fully can relate to Romans 7 in trying to be a good, quote-unquote, church kid, in trying to follow all the rules, in trying to listen to the serving ones, in trying to do all these things, outward things. Oh, but it was just like that older son in Luke 15. You're just laboring for the Father.
Yeah.
And when the prodigal comes back, you say, oh, how come John Teen gets the batting cap and I don't? And all this time I've just been laboring so hard for you. But if we had vision, if we had realization, actually everything that belonged to the Father is mine.
Amen.
Then I wouldn't need to try so hard.
Amen.
All I need to do is ask. Father, I just want what? I want to be blessed.
Amen.
I want to be rich.
Amen.
I want to be enriched.
That's right.
Give me your son.
Amen.
Give me the robe.
Amen.
Give me the ring.
Amen.
Give me the sandals.
Amen.
I want to eat.
Amen.
I want to be merry.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters,
amen.
Like the saints who have shared, didn't you enjoy that? Actually, when I was sitting there, I appreciate so much the speaking of the word.
Amen.
Actually, in Luke 4, that's what the Lord did. He spoke the word.
Amen.
And he said, today. Oh, I enjoyed that. How about let's declare that again.
Amen.
Today.
Amen.
Oh, today.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, Jubilee is not something we experienced in the past. Oh, yeah, you know.
Right.
You know, in that training or conference a couple years ago, I really enjoyed the Lord. You know, sometimes we share like that. Why? Today!
Amen.
And you know what? It's not something in the future. Oh, I'm just a high schooler, a junior higher. I can't enjoy the Lord. No, today!
Amen.
Today, this scripture has been fulfilled.
Amen.
And what? In your hearing. So we need to hear. Faith comes from hearing.
Amen.
And hearing through the word of Christ.
Amen.
Every time we gather together, we need to speak.
Amen.
We need to speak the word of Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For the speaking that produces faith.
Amen.
So I appreciated all the speaking to see, to bring us back to this point. Jubilee is here. Jubilee is now. We could be in the Jubilee. We don't need to. Listen. It was brought up in Colossians 2. You know, in that chapter, Paul reveals that we have been what? We have been, actually through our initial salvation, we have now been placed in Christ. And now he charges us to walk in him, right? Just like the lamb, we just walk. We just enjoy. But later on, he says what? Let no one defraud you. Defraud you. Do you like to be defrauded? Do you like to be cheated? Do you like to be taken advantage of? I don't think any of us sitting in this room likes to be defrauded.
Yes.
But actually, this is the case again and again. We have been given Christ as our allotted portion.
Amen.
Now we need to enjoy.
Amen.
We need to walk. All we see is, everything we see is what we get. Our borders need to be enlarged.
Amen.
So we need to what? We need to have revelation, right? We need to have sight. We need to be brought out of darkness and into light. So that we no longer would be what? Defrauded, to be counted unworthy of our prize. Christ is our prize. And today we have him. But again, it's all a matter of which realm you are in. So I'll just finish with just some experiences this week. You know, after coming back, I wanted, just like all of you, let's practice, right? I don't want to be cheated anymore. I don't want to be defrauded. I don't want my border just to be in this meeting hall, right? So as I was driving this week, I was exercised. Why? Because when I drive, I don't like traffic. My wife knows this. When I get stuck in traffic, sometimes I start complaining. And I get defrauded.
Wow.
So as I was driving this week, I was just exercising my spirit.
Amen.
I was in another realm.
Amen.
I was enjoying glorious freedom.
Amen.
Wonderful freedom.
Amen.
No more.
That's right.
That's right. As I was taking care of my kids, some of you, most of you know, I have 3 little boys under the age of 5. And guess what? They don't always listen to me. Sometimes they have a different will. And so when I'm trying to corral them, okay, it's time to brush your teeth. Okay, it's time to wake up to go to the meeting. Oh, I need to exercise.
Amen.
I need to what? Parent in a different realm.
Amen.
And I could testify, saints, this is real.
Amen.
This is practicable. Is that a word? We could practice this.
Amen.
We could do everything in life in another realm.
Amen.
We could be freed. We could enjoy Jubilee.
Amen.
Don't you want that?
Amen.
I want that.
Amen.
So hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your present speaking.
Amen.
Actually, this is very present because many of the churches we're going to enter into the Memorial Day conference. I'll just end with this. You know, the first banner, I'll read this to you. The most important thing.
Amen.
What is the most important thing? Brother Dave, what is the most important thing?
To enjoy the Lord.
It's to enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
The most important thing for us to do is to experience Christ.
Amen.
As our enjoyment. Guess what?
Today.
Amen. Not yesterday. Not 10 years later. But today.
Amen.
Okay, so I think for the rest of the time, we really would like to open this up for all the saints to share what you've enjoyed. And let's encourage one another.
Amen.
To live in this reality today.
Amen.
So, I enjoyed the Lord today.
Amen.
And I really want to fellowship. I appreciate all the services our brothers and sisters rendered. You know, since yesterday, I drove my daughter to the young people service, and you know, she was happy to go. You know, I heard she talked about how the young people college, you know, and our saints serve, you know, lunch or help out in the dinner. Yeah, so it's just a simple service, but I wait a lot. I know it was good. Yeah. And then in the evening, we simply drove there to pick my daughter and another brother who served there coming back. So just a joyful ride. We came back, we talked about, you know, the life. And this very early morning, I drove my daughter, we arrived in the parking lot in the church in Franklin. And then within 3 minutes, I saw multiple cars, you know, from our senior person to the young people. So I was just grateful to the Lord because we were happy serving in Lord's family. And now we saw our brothers, you know, happily doing the usher service and all these services. But we just enjoy the Lord all in all these services.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
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 Amen. So Luke 4:19 says, now is the acceptable year.
Amen.
Now is the acceptable year.
Amen.
It's not acceptable that we be carried off, that we be enslaved. It's acceptable to the Lord that we be returned to our lot.
Amen.
To our portion.
Amen.
To the subjective experience and enjoyment of Christ.
Amen.
So Romans 7:24 says, wretched man. Wretched man. That's one realm. That's us. Romans 8:4 says, those who are according to the flesh. That's the wretched man. That's right here. Right here. Romans 8:4 also says, those who are according to the Spirit.
Amen.
Those who are according to the Spirit. So those who are, if we're according to the flesh, we mind the things of the flesh. We get carried off from the enjoyment of Christ because we're murmuring. I'm in the traffic. I hate traffic too. In New Jersey especially.
Yeah.
I murmur. I carried off. So that's my choice. Do I want to mind the things of the flesh?
Right.
Or mind the things of the Spirit?
Amen.
Be according to Spirit. And this is for the young brother about the character. The next verse says, walking according to Spirit. Or walking according to the flesh. That walking is a habitual practice, a habitual living. So we can exercise our being to
to have that habitual practice. So in the beginning, it will be an exercise, but we just continue to do that. It becomes a habit. So we walk a habit of walking according to the Spirit.
Amen.
That's our character. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The Jubilee. Praise the Lord.
I appreciate it just from Shepherd and Brother Tom sharing that this Jubilee is so practicable. I also am, and Phoebe knows, that if I hit a red light, which it seems like I always hit a red light at this intersection when I need to be somewhere, I can practice to enjoy the Lord at the Jubilee.
Amen.
I appreciate this so much.
Amen.
I mean, she tells me this all the time, but you know. Anyway, I need repeated speaking on this area so I can experience and enjoy the Lord at the Jubilee.
Amen.
You know, I appreciate this matter of the Jubilee is really, as one of the sisters shared, the central work of God. He wants His people to enjoy Him.
Amen.
To the point of ecstasy. And to our brother shared, to the point of shouting from deep within.
Amen.
You know, I think there is a concept that is from the enemy, which feels like, I think it conveys this thought, that if you're happy, you must be rarely superficial. You must be a superficial person. And I think this has also creeped into my consciousness, where if you're happy, you must be, you must be ignorant of all the life struggles. And you must not be attentive to this and that and the gravity of the situation and responsibility. That's not a happy matter. But actually, we see that, as one brother once shared, and this helped me a lot, the deepest Christian is one who enjoys the Lord.
Amen.
Wow. The deepest Christian is one who enjoys the Lord.
Amen.
And we know from the brothers who have gone before us, their testimony at their deathbed was, I have maintained my joy.
Amen.
This was Brother Nee, a man, of course, who has gone through indescribable and inexplicable suffering. Mm-hmm. He could say at the end of his life, I have maintained my joy.
Amen.
This is our destiny, saints, to be the Jubilee kind of persons, to even live out the Jubilee and to be the Jubilee itself.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother Nee's, you know, at his deathbed, he said, I maintain my joy, right? So when I first heard that message, like many years ago, I didn't quite understand, right? When Brother Nee shared that, I would think he would share something even higher, because to me, just having a joy, it's not that the big of a thing, right? You know, I mean, you're such a big, right, you know, a brother that's seeing much higher vision. You say, okay, I kept my joy, okay? So, but I think just as our brother shared, you know, actually maintaining a joy is not something trivial. This is really it's the ecstasy. This is really enjoying Christ the uttermost, right? In fact, the joy, every Christian, I hope we have some kind of joy meter, right? But we actually probably don't need a joy meter to measure ourselves. We already know, right? Whether we are joy, whether we are oppressed, right? We all know about it, right? Actually, this week when I went back to this message, reviewing the message, I was reminded. This is like the Roman numeral 3. It talks about like everything in our daily living, right? Can be a bondage to us, right? Whether our family life, our church life, right, our work life, anything. I mean, our study, right, for students, you know, any little thing, even like picking up a pen, right, losing a pen, any of those little things can really affect us, you know, kind of like grabbing us from this enjoyment of Christ. Satan just puts so much of casting a big net, try to catch us, right? When Jesus, when Peter, you know, at the point where Jesus was being brought out by man, right? Jesus, I mean, actually before that, he said, Satan wants to sift you, right? Mm-hmm. He really wanted to get rid of us, really. Satan wants to grab as many people as he can, you know, try to, you know, he, because he knows God's plan, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if we all on the side of Jesus, he's done. So, I mean, this is really the Lord's will for us, that we enjoy him to the uttermost, right? Yeah. Even Paul said, brother, rejoice, right? Yeah. Rejoice, I say again, rejoice. Yeah. This is the God's will, you know, in Jesus Christ for you. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Let's enjoy him.
Amen. Joy. The last thing I enjoyed this week is that the Christ we see is the Christ we get. And in Genesis 13, after Abraham separated from Lot, the Lord took him and said, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward, eastward and westward, for all the land that you see, I will give to you and your seed forever. Right? And so yesterday I was so bored, and at 8:20 or 8 o'clock I said to Tom, I'm going to bed. And he said, oh, it's so early, you know, to go to bed. And I said, well, I can't take this day anymore. I'm just too bored, and the best thing I can do is go to sleep, you know. And he didn't say anything because I, you know, and then I realized that I said, I need to lift up my eyes. Amen. I need to look at the Lord. And I wasn't really enjoying the Lord. That was a great opportunity for me to have enjoyed the Lord. Amen. But I didn't, you know, and here we see that if we do not enjoy the Lord sufficiently, we're going to be in bondage to so many things.
Right.
Because it's the truth that sets us free. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Amen.
And you will be free indeed.
Amen.
And this matter of the Jubilee is a matter of freedom.
Amen.
Freedom from what? Well, freedom from the world. Freedom from what we are. Freedom from what we think. From the things that we want. Freedom from everything that is not Christ.
Amen.
So when we don't enjoy Christ, everything is boring. Everything.
Yes.
It's just boring.
Right.
You know, and I said, I sat outside for a little bit. I said, oh, there's no mosquitoes. It's nice. But I was still bored. I went and I plucked out some weeds from the garden. You know, I just could not find any enjoyment and any rest because I did not look at the Lord. I did not enjoy the Lord enough to sustain my living.
Amen.
The matter of proclaiming the Jubilee.
Amen.
So every day in our small groups, we would practice trying to preach the gospel to our people in our small group.
Yeah.
And like when people are trying to preach to me, like sometimes I'm like, I don't even know if I would believe them if I was an unbeliever. So like if I'm trying to preach to people in college, like, so many people that are liberal, they hate the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how am I gonna like reason with them, try to convince them that God is real?
Mm-hmm.
But I was really touched that if we can experience this Jubilee every day, we
Amen.
Can have the reality of the rest, enjoyment,
yes.
freedom.
Amen.
We can be a witness and a minister
right.
for this Jubilee.
Amen.
And when we preach this to other people, we don't have to say anything else. We just need to share enjoyment.
Amen.
Yeah, they will see something.
Amen.
Amen.
And I was really burdened that actually the best time to proclaim the Jubilee is as a freshman, because you're with your other peers and you know, they're in a new environment. So my goal next year is try to reach this Jubilee to classmates.
Amen.
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 Anyone else? No. You know, I really enjoyed the sharing from the college students. There are a couple of things that touched me. You know, regarding a jubilee, generally you can summarize in two words: the matter of releasing and the matter of restoring.
Amen.
Okay? So what are we released from? Amen. We know that we're released from sin and death, and we're released from the world, and so many other things. But I was touched by what Brother Yingjing shared. He touched upon one point. He said that, actually in the outline, it says that everything in our life can be a bondage to us. And we can be slaves under any matter. So, in other words, it's not just negative things of sin, of death, that we can be bound. It could be anything, even positive things, that occupies us, that binds us, that draws us away from God. You know, we just finished the Numbers training. You know, so I went back to read Numbers again. And, you know, I was touched this way. You know, you see a picture of the matter of releasing with the children of Israel, that God brought them out of Egypt. That was a form of releasing, releasing them from bondage of slavery, right? And yet, in Numbers, they wanted to go back. They want to go back. They've been free.
Yeah.
Yet they want to go back to bondage. Because in their mind, it's a better life in terms of what they eat. And they don't have to suffer in the wilderness. So I was touched this way. You know, in our Christian life, in our experience, many times we're like children of Israel. We know for a fact that we have been released, right? Yet, we don't enjoy this jubilee of releasing. Instead, we want to go back to bondage. And, you know, you check with your experience. You know, we're bound by so many things. And yet, sad to say, we like it. And this is why we want to go back. And so, but, you know, what the Lord has done is released us.
Amen.
And, you know, may the Lord have mercy upon us and shine His light upon us.
Amen.
That we can be bound by anything. That this bondage would deny our enjoyment of Christ. Amen. Denying us of our possession. Then you come to a matter of restoring. What are we being, what's being restored? What's being restored is, first of all, obviously, if you're a slave, now you're free, right? But you are restored to your possession. So wherever you sold or gave up, that has been restored back to you. And secondly, you're restored to your family. So you can go back to your family. You no longer have to live with somebody else. You can go back to your family. So in typology, you know, of course, this possession is Christ.
Amen.
This land is Christ, our enjoyment of Christ. And to go back to our family, divine family, is the church.
Amen.
Right? Practically speaking, you know, the church meetings, right? The church meetings where we have the enjoyment of Christ. Something just came to mind. Many times when we have this type of a gathering or blending conference, I told the saints this. I'm not sure why, but whenever we come to Piscataway or to Franklin, we lose 50% of the saints. Okay? We lose 50% of the saints along the way. It's like in our journey, you know, they fall by the side. And then once you get to a destination, we have 50% left. you know, jokingly, I was telling the saints, you know, we encourage the saints, of course, to come. Not only to Franklin, but also to Piscataway. And that we would be doing the numbering. Okay? Not only numbering, you know, to do actual numbering of actually who comes. And so this is why, you know, when we have a coordinating meetings, when brothers ask, so how many people will be coming? You know, in a way, it's kind of easy. Whatever average number you have, you divide by 50%, and that's how many will show up. Okay? But it shows a more important point, okay? Is that, do you realize, saints, you're giving up your possession? You are giving up your family, right? Because we have been restored. Not only are you released, but on the other side, you also have been restored. Restored to your possession, which is Christ as our enjoyment,
Amen.
And restore to our family,
Amen.
Which is the church.
Amen.
So, by taking a vacation, you know, because it's a meeting is someplace else, do you realize that you are giving up something?
Wow. Right.
In a way,
Amen.
It's like going back to a bondage.
Right.
Okay. So praise the Lord for a matter of jubilee.
Amen.
That we have been released and we have been restored.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. I really enjoy a lot this sharing about look for where it says especially why you came. Jesus say he has sent me Father to proclaim release to the captives, mm-hmm. recovery of sight to the blind, to send away and release those who are oppressed.
Amen.
Proclaim the scepter of the Lord. And in the same book, in chapter 33, he entered into a synagogue, and there was a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, what do we have to do with you, Jesus Nazareth? Are you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet. And he came out. See, you listen to all the young people and the brothers saying, yes, sometimes we're in bondage. Especially when we're young, we're tempted. It's not easy. And we might say a lot of things about the conference. Yes. But in reality, the world is coming every day to tempt us with a lot of things, especially when we're young. Well, I'm not that young anymore, but it's a matter of let Jesus come into our life. And there was a song, we have to let Jesus come. And did you check Psalm 1078? I was reading it, and it really impressed me. My brother shared this. 1078 says, oh Lord Jesus, if we let Jesus come in our life, let him stay, that's when we go to our spirit. You know, I mean his word. When Jesus comes, the tempted power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. When he takes the gloom and fills the light with glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Amen.
So we have to let the Lord. He went to, even to many times in the Bible, he went to destroy the power of Satan, to bring people from darkness to light. Right, but the devil even recognizes and praises him. So he keeps doing that all the time in our life, in my life. So we just need to let him destroy the power of Satan every time. When the tempter comes in our life, we just call his name. Let Jesus stay in our life. And I really want to, if we can sing this together, this hymn, we'll be great. Can we sing this 1078?
comes to say, "Hold on, my friend, the evil spirits from him. Among the tombs he dwelt in misery. He thought himself a demon power possessed him. Then Jesus came and set the captives free. When Jesus comes, the scepter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to say, 'Unclean, unclean.' The leper cried in torment. The deaf, the dumb, in helplessness stood here.
The Lord this morning, saints.
Amen.
The Lord is happy about all the college saints.
Amen.
I was really encouraged as I listened to their testimony.
Yeah.
And even just a training, they got such an inspiration.
Amen.
And I also like to encourage them, keep this inspiration, continue in your life.
Amen.
In your living.
Amen.
And indeed, brother and sister, what is Jubilee? As we all study, whether in word, in meaning, or in experience. But really, Jubilee is not some kind of hypothesis. Jubilee is not a future event. Brother, sister, you have this Jubilee.
Amen.
Now.
Amen.
And God's intention is have this Jubilee run into our being.
Amen.
Particularly in our living.
Amen.
If in your daily living that you don't touch Jubilee, then you are not in God's economy.
Wow.
Right. You may talk about God's economy. You may mention about many things. Once you are out of this Jubilee, you are out of God's intention.
Amen.
What is Jubilee? Again, I would like to ask you, and you need to bring this when you're home. Lord, am I living in this reality of Jubilee?
Amen.
If I am, what about my living?
Amen.
What is your living? What is your personal living, saints? Can your living match Jubilee? Indeed. We like to be free then, right? And I'll tell you. the real freedom is to be restricted in Jubilee.
Amen. Yeah.
In the old creation, we have all kinds of bondage. The bondage is suffering. But I will tell you, in the new creation,
amen,
there's a divine bondage.
Amen.
You eventually bound by God.
Right.
Would you like to be bound by God?
Amen.
Or you like to bound by the old creation suffering?
No.
That is the example you saw Paul. Right? When you read the book of Ephesians, outwardly speaking, he was in suffering. But guess what? He has a real freedom.
Amen.
So let us, amen, brother and sister, enjoy and living in the reality of Jubilee.
Amen.
And college saints, you must keep this inspiration. Not just vapor after this week.
Right?
Do you have this urgency? That Lord, I don't want this inspiration vapor. More, I like to keep this at least for a while.
Amen.
May the Lord bless us.
Amen.
We all be in the Jubilee.
Amen. Bless us, Lord.
Amen.
We walking in the Jubilee.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
We love you.
Amen.
Thank you for your speaking.
Amen.
Lord, we give you this week to you.
Amen.
Thank you that you are the real Jubilee.
Amen.
Broken the power of darkness.
Amen.
The life of your Son.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
We love you.
Amen.
We love you, Father.
Amen.
Your name every moment of our lives.
Amen.
Let us live you out every day and second of our lives.
Amen.
Lord, we are so great that we can have you.
Amen.
Father, we love you.
Amen.
Thank you for giving us your Son.
Amen.
We can live in Jubilee of each day.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Thank you,
Father. Praise the Lord. Thank you for all the saints, and thank God give us such a wonderful blending.
Amen.
So the lunch has been prepared for all of us. We welcome all of you to stay for the lunch. We have a double, something called double deluxe. Today for you, we have seafood and chicken. Over rice. So welcome you all stay for lunch. For anyone you cannot stay for lunch, we can prepare for sub for you to take home. The sub and the apple and the water were left at the door. Okay, so but everyone, no matter you are leaving or you are staying for lunch, we should all go that way. Line up to get your lunch from that side. So please don't go to the lunch from this door. So everyone go that direction, and if you need to leave early, you cannot stay for lunch, you can get the sub on your way.
I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop.
Taiwan is very similar.
Yeah, Taiwan's metro is
But it's different because here's a suburban area. Suburban area, kind of
New York. So
that would take like because you have to drive everywhere, right?
That's true.
Yeah. Well, like, I have to walk a lot of curb, but that's just where we're like going a lot of. Like, we're walking like miles and miles every day.
Wait, where?
Well, not Japan.
Oh,
a lot, right?
So you're saying you're touring?
Yeah. We didn't have to. My parents wanted to visit this year, but we just lined up. So we came back from Japan. There was a week that we went to college training, and then this week and next week is summer school.
Oh, so you just like, a few weeks before that?
Yeah, the week right before, or the week. There's an empty week for a gap week between the college training and when we got back.
Oh, I see. I told your mom to come to Taiwan next summer. Exactly. The
same.
It's much cheaper to live in Taiwan, so you know, for my salary in Taiwan, absolutely no problem. But if you make it for America, it's terrible. Which is why it is difficult to spend the money to go to the training.
Because the amount of money you make in Taiwan So your cost of living is a lot lower.
Yeah, the cost of living in general
also,
is about 3 times.
Healthcare is not private, it's like that, right?
Yeah, I don't have free healthcare.
Yeah, you get free healthcare.
It's from the government.
Actually, from the school.
But it's government healthcare, yeah.
Yeah. I remember reading something like something happened and they had to go to the hospital and it's kind of on their application.
And
which
is great because
that saved your guys' lives.
Natural medicine. It includes
natural medicine. You can buy all the ginseng you want.
It's over. You're right. You're
going. Taiwan's running out of ginseng.
Dude, let's see. Oh, really?
Yeah.
What? Oh, spring break, but when is spring break?
Well, not spring break. It'll obviously end up being longer than a week. So it'll probably be over the summer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Let me know when it is.
I'm still very interested, though.
Yeah. Very nice. And are you doing an internship at Baltimore right now?
No, I just, my employer gave me a week off to come to college training.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I'm here, but I'm going back on the board.
So you're working in Baltimore?
Yeah. My situation's not ideal, but.
Why?
I'm definitely interested in doing this.
Every time Scala's like, How does it work? But you're shrinking your load.
In the future, if you guys ever find
Thank you. Yeah.
mercy.
Thank you.